Steel with Monitor 68, where you'll find out that you've never really understood the song Waltzing Matilda. It may come as a shock to discover that it's a sad song, and two young Australian boys who ought to know will tell us about it later this half hour. Sooner this half hour, there'll be a report on this younger generation and a song by the Johnny Mann Singers. It's Stop in the Name of Love. Monitor's weekly report on this younger generation with Linda Sutter.
Opposition to the United States' involvement in Vietnam is becoming increasingly outspoken. And at the same time, urban problems and racial tensions are coming to a point of serious crisis. What effect has all of this on the soldiers returning from Vietnam? And in particular, since these two problems seem so closely related, what is the reaction of a Negro soldier returning from Vietnam? Sergeant Larry McCord is a Negro. He's 21 years old and comes from New Orleans, Louisiana. After attending Hofstra College in New York State for a year and a half, he enlisted in the Army. In the 20 months he's been in the Army, he's been promoted from a private to a three-stripe sergeant, which is a considerable achievement in such a short time. For most of those 20 months, he's been with the Army Infantry in Vietnam. He's received the Bronze Star, the Air Medal, and four Purple Hearts, and he returned to this country only after he'd been wounded for the fourth time. Sergeant McCord, when did you return from Vietnam?
December the 21st of last year.
And what was the injury that you'd had?
I was wounded twice in the abdomen and once in the chest.
In combat?
Yes, it was in combat.
A lot of people are saying that the Negro soldier who's returning from Vietnam is going to have a strong influence on the racial situation. Does that make sense to you in terms of yourself?
Well, I would say, as a Negro, and an American first of all, he does have a part to play. And he should feel rightly to do his part just as anyone else would.
Do you feel any resentment having served this country and coming back to a country where there's a certain amount of inequity?
Well, as far as feeling any resentment, I do not. What I would like to see things be better as a whole, because I am a Negro, but I feel that I have benefited by my service in my country, and I can hold my head up high and feel proud that I know that I have done my part.
What is your reaction to this anti-war feeling over here? Is that discouraging to you?
On the whole, it is rather discouraging, because one should not be too quick to judge something when you haven't experienced it. It's a common practice for people to protest the war, but just ask a lot of the soldiers, do they regret going over there? And I think, speaking for myself, that they won't feel this way.
Did you encounter any racial prejudice while you were in the Army?
Well, very little. Maybe, if you want to say percentage-wise, maybe 1 or 2%, but it was hardly noticeable at all.
I mean, compared to what you might have encountered here, what you have encountered here, much less in the Army.
Much, I would say much less.
Do you think it was beneficial for you as a Negro to have been in the Army?
I benefited quite a lot through travel and through seeing just how things really are, not having anyone to have to tell me how they were. I saw them with my own eyes. I experienced them for myself. And therefore, I can feel safe in making a judgment and knowing that I have facts to base this upon.
Is it possible to say that your experience in the Army has made you mature faster than you might have if you hadn't gone into the Army?
I would certainly say so. I would say I benefited a great deal because of the responsibility put upon me. Also, I feel that I've matured from this, because now I don't take so many things for granted, so many of the freedoms that we have. And if we look at some of the protesters, they're protesting, and they have the right to do so. But they never thought how it would be if someone would take this from them. Through the period of time I spent in the Army, I've had a chance to develop the idea that we should defend what we believe in, and if we don't, it might be taken from us. So I would say I have gained quite a bit of maturity from this.
Thank you, Sergeant Larry McCord. This is Linda Sutter reporting for This Younger Generation on Monitor.
Keep in step with Monitor.
Here's Roger Miller to sing about little green apples.
And I wake up in the morning with my hair down in my eyes, and she says hi. And I stumble to the breakfast table while the kids are going off to school goodbye. And she reaches out and takes my hand and squeezes it and says, how you feeling, hon? And I look across at smiling lips that warm my heart and see my morning sun. And if that's not loving me, then all I've got to say, God didn't make the little green apples, and it don't rain in Indianapolis in the summertime. And there's no such thing as Dr. Seuss or Disneyland, and Mother Goose is no nursery rhyme. Didn't make me these green apples, and it don't rain in Indianapolis in the summertime. And when myself is feeling low, I think about her face and will ease my mind. Sometimes I call her up at home, knowing she's busy, and ask her if she can get away and meet me. Maybe we can grab a bite to eat. And she drops what she's doing and she hurries down to meet me. and I'm always late. But she sits waiting patiently and smiles when she first sees me, 'cause she's made that way. And if that ain't loving me, then all I've got to say, God didn't make little green apples, and it don't snow in Minneapolis when the winter comes. And there's no such thing as make-believe, but it does all the leaves and BB-guns.
At 15 minutes before the hour, you're 1 minute away from the Limelighters on the Monitor Beacon.
Monitor, New York. WNBC, New York.
Hello, barter, bargain, dicker, and outbid. This is Sterling Yates on WNBC. Whether you're looking for a bargain or want to make one, you're in business when you listen to and call me at Plaza 78866. Over-the-counter results over the telephone on my show and sell. Weekday mornings from 10 to 11, right here on WNBC.
The local school board in your district is the link between your community and the Board of Education. There are vacancies right now on these local school boards, and you can help the New York City Board of Education by recommending the best people to represent you on them. For an application and further information, either write or call the office of the Coordinator of Local School Boards at 110 Livingston Street. That's in Brooklyn, New York. The phone number is 596-8993. Applications must be submitted to the office by March 15th.
A new song on Monitor by the Limelighters. It's Cold December in Your Heart. March 9th version, of course.
A touch of April in your smile, July and August in your yellow hair, a sweet September in your eye, notions in the clothes you wear. Your every season's work of art, but there's a cold December in your heart. It seemed to me the day we met that all the clouds had begun.
Chris and Peter Allen are two young singers from Australia. Peter is married to Liza Minnelli, and both of them are pursuing their show business careers. Last week, the Allen boys were in Milwaukee for a singing engagement, and they were interviewed for Monitor by Jeff Jordan.
How do a couple of fellows from Australia, who, though they have the talent, are completely unknown in a country, walk in and become the successes that you have become?
This is the hardest thing in the world to do. In fact, for the first 6 or 8 months that we were here, we were literally starving to death. We couldn't get work. And, of course, the big breakthrough was the...
I think it's all a matter of that one turning point. And ours was Johnny Carson.
Some people, they get a hit record, you know, particularly younger kids. They get the hit record, which helps them. And we didn't have that. And fortunately, we did the Carson show. It was phenomenal, because one day they said, "You, it was very difficult to get work." And then we did the show, and Johnny liked us. And the next day, we had calls for work, and we had like 6 managers and 6 recording companies. You know, it's ridiculous.
We were supposed to do just one song and then get off quickly. But we did one song, and then he came over and said, "Do another." And then we went to the couch and sat down, you know, which is... That's a big step. You go to the couch and sit down.
Chris and Peter, it seems like perhaps an absurd question, but are you having problems with the language barrier?
A little bit. As I said, we've been here a bit over a year now, and we're kind of getting used to it. Sometimes, I guess, we have a little bit of a problem.
Well, Australians don't talk as the English do, for example. Do they mean they have another version of the English language?
It's funny, we're a mixture.
We have the, if you go in the bush country of Australia, you'll find them speaking with an Australian slang, like the Waltzing Matilda, you know, the Billabongs and the Jumbucks. And
I never understood any of that slang.
I think Billabong and things like that are all Aborigine terms, though.
They get a lot of it from the Aboriginals, yes.
Well, could you give us an example? Take Waltzing Matilda. I'd love to hear a translation of that. I mean, it's
okay.
Something I can understand.
Okay.
That's such a morbid song, you know. When you hear it sung, they always think, "Waltzing," kind of jolly and happy, which I'm sure most people really heard it. But it's really a sad song. It's about this poor old guy who commits suicide. But
do you want us to translate it?
Like, yes.
Okay.
All righty. Well, you see, once a jolly swag man.
A swag man would be a hobo or something like that.
Right. Camped by a billabong.
Which is a swamp, a lake.
Right, under the shade of a coolabah tree.
Which, I'm not sure why a coolabah tree.
Would be a
well,
big
I know
tree.
That it's a big one. Yeah.
Right, and he's waiting for his billy to boil, you see.
That's a can that they carry, and they boil water in and then throw the tea in.
Make a cup of tea. And down comes a jumbuck.
That's a sheep.
Right, to drink from the billabong. And... the swag man, you see, goes over to the jumbuck and grabs him and puts him in his tucker bag.
Which is the bag that you normally carry your tucker in.
What's a tucker?
Your food.
Here's the food, all right.
Tucker bag.
And anyway, you see, he's going to steal it, you see. And while he's doing this, the squatter comes down with the troopers.
That's the rancher, and comes down with the mounted police.
Right. And you see, instead of going to jail for stealing the jumbuck, the poor old swag man jumps up and he dives into the billabong and he commits suicide.
It isn't exactly Stars and Stripes, but...
It's a little morbid, you know.
And no one knows why it's called Waltzing Matilda.
That's true. And then we do explain it and they say, "Well, how do you get Waltzing Matilda?" And we don't know. America has really become aware of Australia, though, because I even remember just going back a couple of years... Literally, people would come up and say to us, "Gee, you speak good English," you know. And I'm not quite sure, you know, they didn't know what language we spoke in Australia. And often they kind of thought kangaroos down the main street and things like that. But now you don't get that. As I said, they're very much aware of Australia now, which is good. And Australia has always been very much aware of America.
Is it fair to say that Australians generally are fond of Americans when they come to visit?
It's fair to say that they adore America.
I would say so. It's about the most pro-American country in the world today, and that's saying something.
Well, I must say that you are making us pro-Australia, and thank you for doing so.
Chris and Peter Allen, interviewed by Jeff Jordan in Milwaukee. Here's Vicky Carr with "She'll Be There."
He will walk into the room and look at me, and I'll melt away. He will smile his little smile, and he will see how I melt away. been resigned. I will melt away. He will press his lips to mine. Let him be mine. I will softly pray. And all the first in his life for a memory instead of me. But I love him oh so much, so very much. I can't let him go. So I take the love he gives, what love he gives. But I'll always know deep in.
Tomorrow evening, NBC News will examine the new problems police officers face in view of the Supreme Court ruling that a defendant must be given his rights. That special in the second Sunday series is called The Cop and the Court. Listen tomorrow, 9:05 p.m. New York time, on the NBC Radio Network. The reporter is NBC News Justice Department correspondent Carl Stern. And among those interviewed will be Supreme Court Justice William O. Douglas and Senator John L. McClellan. Don't miss it. Mitchell and Theme from the Fox. NBC News on the Hour is next, and then there'll be more of Monitor. I'm your host, Ted Steele.
We still have more to bring you, just wait and see. More news, more songs to sing you, more comedy.
Monitor New York, your weekend sound on WNBC New York.
Sports page, front page, entertainment page. The Bill Mazur Show turns from one main event of the day to another. This is Bill Mazur inviting you to join me as the men who are news make news on my program. Weekdays from 4 to 7 p.m. on WNBC Radio.
The New York State Legislature is now expected to consider proposed changes in the 1968 state personal income tax law. And because of this, many taxpayers have delayed filing their tax forms. Your New York State Department of Taxation and Finance reminds you that any action that may be taken this year by the legislature will not affect the returns due and fileable by April 15th. So file now. If you have a refund coming, this year's legislation won't affect it in any way.